with is the sugya is mashe kono eved kono rabbe. What we're looking at is the capacity of a person to extend his yad. So when we talk about a yad in Hilchos Chiyum Matana, we're talking about the ability to be koina. And the one obvious example of being able to extend the yad is in like Kinyan Chotzer, where you've got a piece of property and you can be koina things that are placed in that property. If they don't have another owner, you koina it, even though you're nowhere near that property. So it's an extension of the yad. You can be in Toronto, the property can be in Tel Aviv, and you can be koina because somebody puts it in your property. So your yad is halachically extended. The other areas of that is obviously the Eved. So an Eved, similar to a Chotzer, is your property. So his Yad also is your Yad. So you could have an Eved in Tel Aviv, and somebody put something into his hand, and you can immediately acquire it. So it's an interesting idea of a Yad that extends beyond, that is not limited by geography, that is not limited by anything physical. It's governed by a connection of ownership and not by a physical connection. So we're looking at a different type of halachic connectivity, how people are connected to the things they own, and in some cases the things they own have some of their power. So their power to be koine is actually vested in the thing that you own, no matter how far away from you the thing that you own is, not only if it's a thing but even if it's a human being. And the other example of it, which is somewhat complex, and that's what we're going to look at, is Isha. Husband has certain rights in his wife's property for completely different reasons from the reason that a Baal has rights, that an Odin has a right in an Eved's property. Completely different reason. But nevertheless, a Baal has rights in the property of an Isha. The rights that he has are the rights of Teiros. He has the usufruct. He has the right to benefit from the revenue generated from that belongs to him. So anything that the wife is koina, he is immediately koina as well. She retains ownership of the guf, and he acquires ownership of the peiros. So that's the piece that the Rambam deals with. What's going to interest us is the Gemara in Kiddushin, almost by the way, links Isha and Eved together, and treats them exactly the same. And we're going to explore to what extent that equation works. To what extent can they and are they treated exactly the same? So let's start off with the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Chiyum Matzonah Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Beis. Moshe, you can share with me, and then maybe you can share down there. Or is that okay? Everybody's gone. So Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Beis in the Rambam. Hanoisein Matzona LeEved or LeIsha. So the way we're going to really analyze this is by saying, is there a way I can give anything to an Eved or an Isha in a way that the Odin or Baal gets no rights in it? To what extent is that connection between the Yad of the Eved and the Yad of the Baal, to what extent is that connection absolute, and to what extent can it be interrupted? Is there any way that I can give an Isha or an Eved something that will really be theirs? Do they have the capacity to own anything? And what are the mechanisms of doing that? So the Rambam says, Hanoisen matzono le'eved or le'isha, kono abal v'hod. You give something to an Eved or an Isha, instantly the Baal or the Odin gain ownership. The only difference is what exactly they get ownership of. The mechanism is the same. The timing is the same. Everything is the same. The only difference, says the Rambam, is that the Odin gets the guf, and the Baal gets the peiros only. That's the only difference. So we need to remember that in the sheet of the Rambam, that there is no difference in mechanism. There's only a difference in what is owned by the Odin or the Baal. Halacha Yud Gimel, Notan Matona LeIsha Al Menas She'en LeBaal HaRishus Bo. So what happens if we say to an Isha, I'm giving you this, but I want it for you only? So now the question is, can a father not give his daughter a gift in a way that the son-in-law doesn't get the rights to it? So the one way might be to say, "Here, I'm giving this to you, but the condition is your husband has no right in it." Or the eved amanat she'en rabbi rishus boy, kono ha'odin v'kono habal. The tnai is absolutely useless. The kinyan works. The yad takes place, and the tnai is of no use. Aval hanoisen matono le'isha or le'eved, v'hitna imohem hanoisen begufo shel matono. That if you give a gift to an isha or an eved, and you're matne in the goof of the matona, shetiyeh lekach v'kach, loy kono ha'odin v'loy kono habal. Then it works well. You can withhold ownership from the odin or from the baal. So now, there's an interesting word that the Rambam throws in here. Those of you who've seen the Gemara, what words indicate some possible chiddush in the Rambam? Here, would you say? The gufo, yeah. What does the gufo mean? The Rambam is mechadishet would seem that there are two types of tnoim. The issue here is not the wording. That's not the issue. The issue, these are two different kinds of tnoim. One is beguf hamatono, and one is something else. What is the something else? It would seem, according to the Rambam, that you can make a tnai that defines the gift, and you can make a tnai that places conditions on the gift. They're different kinds of tnoim. A tnai that defines the gift, that's the definition of the gift. That's what you're giving. So if what you're giving is by definition something that the husband can't own, then the husband can't own it. That's what you've created. You've created something that is not ownable by the husband. And there's an ability to do that. That's quite a chiddush in the Rambam. The idea of a tnai begufo shel matono being different from a tnai which leaves the matona as it is, but places restrictions on ownership of the matona. That, says the Rambam, you can't do. You can't place restrictions on the ownership of the matona. Once you've given the matona to her, her yad is his yad, he's got the ownership. As the other Rishonim will say as we go into them, that it's like giving somebody a gift and then saying it's on condition you don't own the gift I've just given you. That can't work. If you've given and there's been a kinyan, you can't withdraw from that afterwards. That's why there's a kinyan. So the moment I give you something, I say, here, this is yours, I give this to you. At that, and you're koine, you do a kinyan, and afterwards I start placing conditions on that. I'm no longer the owner. I can't place conditions on something which you've been koine. So here too, I can't place conditions on a gift which the odon or the baal has been koine by means of the yad of the yevet. Can't do that. But it is possible to create an item that is not ownable by the odon or the baal. That's being matne beguf hamatonos, says the Rambam, which seems to be a new idea. So we should just bear it in mind as we work on the sugya, that the Rambam might have an interesting and different angle on his understanding of the sugya. Okay, it's said in Halacha Yud Gimel, he gives the examples. Hanoitzin maton alisha. So this is an example of matne beguf hamatona. How are you matne beguf hamatona? Hanoitzin maton alisha v'omalo. Hare hamo sa'irin esunim lach b'matono almana shetil b'shibohen o almana shetishtibohen v'tasi ma shetirzi b'lo rishus habal. Very interesting wording in the Rambam. So you give a gift to the woman and you say to her, this money, and notice that it's money, is given to you as a gift, but here's the condition in the gift, that you use it for clothing or drinking, food or drinking, and you do with it what you want without the rishus of the baal. Now that's not a third condition. He doesn't say, or al menash shetasi ma shetirzi b'lo rishus habaal. He doesn't say that. And again, let's bear that in mind as we look at the ways different Achronim are going to understand the Rambam. But as we're learning the Rambam ourselves at the moment, the Rambam does not add that as a third possible tnai. He adds that as a description of the first two tnai. So I'm saying to you, there are really three things I'm saying to you, the wife. I'm saying the money is yours for eating or drinking. That's number one. Number two, it's do with it as you please. Meaning, eat and drink or wear clothes that you choose when you choose to do it. Not do with it whatever you want. That's not what the Rambam's saying. He's saying that I'm giving you two specific things. Clothing, eating, but governed by your desire, not by your husband's. He can't tell you how to spend it. Not even for food and drink and clothing. So he can't tell you, I want you to go to such and such a store, and I want you to buy such and such an item of clothing. You want to use it to buy a fur coat, or you want to use it to go to a good restaurant, that's up to you. You can do with it as you please. In other words, your desire kicks in the tnai. It's not yours until you have used it for what you want to use it in the area of
food or clothing. So it's your desire that has to govern it. If the husband says, I would like you to wear it, it doesn't become yours. Even if you use it for clothing, if the husband says, I want you to use it for this in the store to buy these and these clothing, and you do that, that's ganeva. You're actually using money that isn't yours. The money only becomes yours when you're using it for what you... So I've defined the gufa matona. I've defined this matona. I've said this matona only becomes yours if it's governed by your will, not by his. So it's not that I've excluded his ownership. It's not possible for him to have ownership by virtue of my definition of the matona. That's what the Rambam seems to be mechadesh, that a person can define a matona, use tznoim to define a matona in a way that makes it impossible for the odon or the baal to get ownership of it, not because you've excluded him from it, but because the definition of the gift doesn't allow that possibility.
Just a question. The problem with what you're saying is the next word we run is the chain and similar.
On the Eved. So let's go into that and see.
But it's going to be different than the word v'chein.
Wouldn't apply. So let's see how it will work with it. V'chein. Im amal eved al menash yitoichel bohem v'tishte ben. Al menash yitetze bohem l'cheirus. O al menash yitatze bohem kol ma shetirzi b'lo rishus odon shocha. Loikon odon v'chol kiyetze b'zeh. You're right. He seems to say something differently. Because here he adds the do whatever you want with it as an additional clause. So what does he say before we even come onto the v'chein? He says to an eved, "Amanash teichel b'hem v'tishte b'hem." You can use it for food or drink. Amanash teitzel b'hem l'cheres. You can use it for cheres. Or amanash taseh b'hem kol mashe tirtzeh. Or do with it whatever you want. So the eved, the first thing we see that when he learns the eved is he's learning that cheres is nothing. There's nothing magical about the cheres piece. It doesn't have to be cheres. It can be anything. Any tznai you want to. Second, we see here that he's not adding amanash taseh b'hem kol mashe tirtzeh as an overriding condition to the others. He's adding that as an additional one, which seems to be different from what he did by Isha. So by Eved, he's saying, you can use it for food, you can use it for drink, you can use it for whatever you want, without the rishus of the Baal. So it would seem, according to the Rambam, that the possibilities with the Eved are even more diverse than they are with the Isha. With the issue of the Rambam seems to be tighter than with the Eved, and you're asking in that case why the Chayin doesn't seem to be the Chayin. So the only thing we can say about this, so there are two things we've got to investigate if we can. The one is why the Rambam makes this difference between the issue and the Eved, and the second is why the Chayin if it isn't so. Why the Chayin we could answer simply and say the Chayin is that this is another example of where you matne begufa matona. Right, not exactly the same, it's slightly different because an Eved and Isha, there are different reasons for it. But the V'chein is, these are two examples of where you matne be'gufa matona and you're not adding tzroim apart from it. So you're saying to the Eved, here too, I'm giving this to you, I'm not shetocha v'tishtevayim, so if you eat and drink, one of the interesting things is that the Odin is not obligated to feed his slave. No, it's not one of the chiyuvim. If you can say to him, go and find your own food, I don't have to feed you. Whereas a baal is chayiv b'mzonos ishto. So that could be one of the differences. So when it's a baal, so I'm giving it to the wife, and I'm giving it to her for food, I'm adding, but he has no right over deciding what food you eat, although he's chayiv b'mzonos aich, he can't use this as part of his mzonos chiyuv. If he wants you to get mezonos from a particular store, then he must still go and buy from that store. This is for you to buy where you want to buy, over and above what he wants. But in the case of the Eved, the Odin has no obligation to give food. So in any case, it's his will. You don't have to add the condition, almanas. What's interesting, though, is that the Rambam by the Eved seems to say that if I just say that you can do with it what you want, that would work. So here you are, Eved, here's money, buy with it whatever you want, use it however you want. That would work. If I do that with an isha, from the wording of the Rambam, it doesn't seem that would work. Because the Rambam doesn't add that as a third tnai, he adds that as a condition for the other two tnai. So for a woman, it would seem that he cannot just say, buy with it whatever you want. So we're going to have to see whether we can unravel this in the Rambam. There seem to be some chidushim in the Rambam. We seem to have some he'oros in the Rambam that we're going to have to unravel. But the Rambam certainly seems to have a unique way of learning the Gemaras.
Sorry, Rambam holds that the only shaila by Isha is by Peiros, not by Karen, right? Karen belongs
yes.
to her. So the only, here he discusses what she should do with the Peiros of the money the father gave when she uses Peiros for clothing.
Yes, so, well, the question is, why can the Baal not say, give me that money, I will invest it, and I can be zochel peiros. You can't go and spend it. So if a woman inherits money, that's exactly what happens. She inherits $10,000. She's got to give that to her husband to invest, and he eats the peiros. So now her father gives her $1,000 and says, go and buy yourself some clothes. The Baal can say, no, absolutely not. You put that in investment, I get the peiros, and when I die, you can take the keren. So we're saying that the father can circumvent that process by making a definition in the guf ha-matona that by definition makes it impossible for the Baal to get peiros, because this actually isn't money. He hasn't given her money. He hasn't given her anything tangible. That really seems to be, when you matne beguf ha-matona, you're actually saying this isn't money, this isn't investable. It's not an asset. It's simply a power to spend. But it's not an asset that can be used for any choice that you want. It's very restricted usage. And you've created that way. So there are no payers.
So what happens again? The father gives his daughter $100.
Right.
So what Rambam says? Rambam says that she can spend this $100, or he says that she can put the money on the account and spend
the father gives the daughter $100 on condition.
Yes.
That this $100 can be used only for what you want to eat, when you want to eat, where you want to eat.
So we're talking about this $100, not the payers on this
$100. No, just this
what,
money.
What does this then Rambam mean in the beginning when you base?
Without condition. If there are no conditions, the Baal gets the payers. If the father just gives the daughter $100, that goes into investment, the husband gets the payers. In Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam starts exploring, are there ways to exclude the husband? So the Rambam, yes, based on the Gemara in the Dorim, there are ways to exclude the husband. So let's go right into the Gemara in the Dorim now, where this is all based. The Gemara in the Dorim is on Peches.
One question.
Yeah.
Here it's just they're trying to circumvent the system to get the money in their hand.
Right.
If the husband were to stand up, does he have a right to bend the rules and say, from now on, I allow my wife to acquire $100, stay in her rishus, and I am stepping back?
Yes, absolutely. He can be motel his right to the payers anytime he wants.
Anytime. So here it's where we're trying to battle the guy and...
Yes, the example the Gemara gives us, you'll see in a moment, is a mudir hanor. So for some reason, the social example is a father-in-law doesn't like his son-in-law. So whether it's because he's a mudir hanor, that creates the halachic reality of it, or just, I don't want my son-in-law to have anything of this.
The Rambam didn't mention it, but an obvious difference between the Eved and the Isha, he mentioned Peres, and you mentioned Peres, meaning you being clearly from the Rambam, is it's obvious that there's a difference as well, because the Eved doesn't have a Yad, and the Isha has a Yad.
Yes.
That's the difference, that case wouldn't exist with an Eved, for example, because the Eved doesn't have a Yad. The Baal can't step back and say he can take whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the halakhic difference is a Baal can give an Isha a gift,
and an
Odin cannot give an Eved a gift.
Right.
He can't. The Eved is unable to be Kohen. So
the Rambam doesn't mention it. You don't see that
yes,
at all.
The Rambam doesn't mention that, you're right. The Rambam seems to treat them the same. And the Gemara in Kiddushin seems to treat them the same. It's odd that the Gemara in Kiddushin seems to treat them so similarly. Because the whole mechanism is different. The whole basis, the reason for the Yad Ishak Yad Baal is different from the Eved. The mechanism is different. One would think the halakhic process is different. It's very odd that the Gemara in Kiddushin just links them together. And the Rambam follows that and links them together and gives us no inclination that Nafkimina really makes a difference. But we'll have a look and we'll see. Let's have a look at the Gemara in the Dorim Daf Peches Amud Aleph, where we have a short piece of Gemara, a Mishnah and a Gemara. So the Mishnah is Hamadir Hano Michatona. So he is Madir Hano from his Chasam. He says, I don't want my son-in-law ever to have any benefit from me. Now he wants to give his daughter money. I'm giving this to you on condition that your husband has no authority over it, but that you use it to decide what to put into your mouth. I want you to use this for your own nourishment, and you make a decision, you eat, you choose, and your husband should have no rights on it. So the question is, how specific is this? What happens if you just say Amanashe in the Balet Rishus Bohen? What happens if you don't say that at all and you just say Ela Amanashe Nesis Lines Lepich? Is it Dafka Mashad Nesis Lines Lepich, or is it any specific use? And that's just an example. Those are the things that we need to have a look at. So we have a Machlokes Rav Shmuel. Omar Rav, and we're going to be dealing with two Machlokes. We're going to be dealing with the Machlokes Rav Shmuel in the Dorim, and we're going to be dealing with the Rabbi Elazar and Rav Sheshes in really three machlokes, and we're dealing with a Rav and Shmuel in the Dorim, a Rav Sheshes and Rabbi Elazar in Kiddushin, and a Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan in the Mishnah in Kiddushin. So there's going to be three machlokes that we're going to have to hold in our head as we work through this. Some of you might remember when I gave a shiur on why learning Gemara is a competitive advantage for our Dor, and I don't believe it's ever been so before. Learning Gemara has always been a good thing, and it sharpens the mind, but it gives an advantage to a Talmud today to operate in today's world in a way that no other limud does. And one of them is because the way that young people are wired now, the post-internet age are wired now, one of the important differences between under 27-year-olds and over 27-year-olds is an under 27-year-old is able to hold and operate in parallel cognitive models, which means they can think simultaneously down several tracks. We have to actually skip when we're thinking. You can move quite quickly from one to the other, but you've got to stop one and go to the other. It's like multitasking. With them, it's not multitasking. They're actually wired to be able to think simultaneously along several different tracks of cognitive thinking. In Gemara, we do that all the time. So a child who's raised in Gemara learning has the same capabilities as a post-internet kid has. Which is really, and here's a great example. We're going to have to be thinking parallelly, and a 14-year-old kid who learns a sugya has exactly the same challenge. We're going to have to be able to hold in our minds parallelly a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, a machlokes Rav Sheshes and Rav Elazar, a machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan, and work with the three simultaneously all the time. Additionally, you'll see we're doing some interesting hyperlinking from Nedorim to Kiddushin, from Eved to Isha. But when the Gemara hyperlinks, there's usually a conceptual connection. On the internet, you can sometimes hyperlink, and it's almost random. But in the Gemara, when there's a hyperlink, and hyperlinking is fundamental to Gemara learning. Zereshov is a form of hyperlinking. Hekeshim are forms of hyperlinking, and Satosfus hyperlinks all the time, and takes one Gemara and brings in another one that seems to have nothing to do and creates a hyperlink. So all the cognitive processes that are inherent in young people today are gained in Gemara. So kids today actually have a great Gemara facility, and it's important that we don't dumb Gemara down for them, and that we don't turn Gemara into a linear process, because they don't need to think in a linear process. They're accustomed to think in a much more spherical process. So we'll see that happening right here in the sugya. So let's start with Rav Shmuel. We've got a case. The Mishnah is always case study. The Mishnah gives you a real case, something you can picture in your mind, and it's important to picture. It helps the cognitive process. So you picture an angry father-in-law and a son-in-law who are not talking to each other. Father loves his daughter, dying to give her something, wants to treat her, and every time he gives her something, the husband puts it in the bank. And he can't give her anything, so he's incredibly frustrated. So he creates this situation where he gives it not just out snai she'en labale chushus, but he realizes that isn't going to work. The moment he puts it in his daughter's hands, the baal has been koine, the peiros. So that's not going to work. So he creates this new condition, which the Mishnah says works. Now, what are the limits of this condition, says the Gemara? Omar Rav, lo yishonu ela de omar lo amnashe at noises v'nesenes b'ficho, aval omar mashe tirtzi asi kono yasun baal. It's dafke food. But if it's a general, if you say do with it on condition, you do with it as you please, that, using the Rambam's terminology, is not a tnai begufa matona. That's just an exclusion. And you can't exclude the Baal, because he's already included the moment she gets it. So using the Rambam's terminology, Rav says, you've got to say, I'm giving this to you for food. In other words, I'm not giving you money. I'm giving you food in the form of money, so that you can make your choices yourself when and when you want. But it's food that I'm giving you, it's not money. So I've been matne begufa matona. I have changed. It might look like money, but halachically it isn't money. What you see me giving you is nourishment. Nourishment and choice. I'm giving you the choice over your own nourishment. That's what I'm giving you. I'm not giving you dollars. And Shmuel says, even if you say, do with them as you please, the Baal doesn't get them. Because that is, how are we going to understand that? Is that also a Tnai B'Gufa Matzonah? Does Shmuel also agree that you need Tnai B'Gufa Matzonah, but this is a Tnai B'Gufa Matzonah? Probably. Rashi on the Dorim that says not that. Rashi learns them differently. Rashi says, Avar Ma... That's Rabbi Negeshim. Rashi on the Dorim is Rabbi Negeshim. Loishon, so let's go through all of it. Loishon, the Yochalitin law, Apagard, who muda hanomi meno elo de omalo be inyan ze, ein loch rishus bohen, elo mash at noises from the sinners with toch pich. You don't have any rishus over it. I'm not restricting your husband's rishus. I'm restricting your rishus. You only have use over this money to put it into your food. The kivan, the omalo haki, lo konobal, the Yochalenus mehen, the Mishalishto, who are hill. There's no way that the husband can get it because he would then be eating his wife's food. He's not allowed to do that. He's got to provide her with food. Mm-hmm. So
it's just the opposite.
So in this case,
he's allowed to eat it.
And you don't know that. In this case, the kivan do amalohachi loy kono bal, because if the bal were to be kone,
then bal cannot use it.
The Baal cannot use it. Why? Because if the Baal were using it, he would be eating his wife's food.
No, you'd have an
Isser Hanok. And you would have an because he would be eating. So you want to say, therefore, he can eat it because lo shonu de yochel liten lo afagadu muda hanomi menu.
He got around the motor Hanok problem.
Ela the omar lo beinyan ze ein lachrushus bohem. So I am only giving you what you put into your mouth. So when does it become yours? When you put it into your mouth. The kivan de omar lo hachi, having said that to her, loy kono bal, the bal has no kinyan in it. The yochel lehen os mehen, and what does that mean? And how do you learn that? And the bal is able to then to be nene, to mishulishto hu'eche, because he's being nene from his wife, not from the father. Because this now belongs to her. So if she buys food with it, he could then...
It's her food.
And he could share the food. This is how you're learning it.
You don't have a problem with
the mudana. Because he can eat the food.
Maybe there's a separate issue from taking his wife's food.
If she allows him to. But there's no mudana. There's no problem with mudana. That's how you would learn. So you see from this that Rashi and Adorim learns that it's before she puts it in her mouth physically. So I'm really showing what to say. It only becomes hers literally when she puts it in her mouth, and by that time the Baal, there's nothing for the Baal to get it. So that's not how Rashi's learning. Rashi's clearly learning the moment she uses it to acquire food, she could share that food with her husband and there would be no Yisra Ano in that. Because she's been Koineh. He's created an opportunity for her to be Koineh, the object completely. But if he puts it in a general term, then it's as if he does get it from that father. He's allowed her to do anything she wants with him with it. That means that he still has, that if the Baal benefits, so why can't she then say, I'm choosing to give it to my husband?
It was never hers.
Why does it never become hers? Because she's given such a free authority, she's given, this is not a Tanai in the Guf Hadol. There's no Tanai. The Dover is untouched. If she can do with it as she wants, then it is money. Then he's given her money. If he's given her money, it belongs to the husband.
Now he has a problem
with Yisra Hanok. Whereas in the first case, he didn't give her money. He gave her something very specific, and he was matne begufa matonu. Shmuel omer, afilu omer lo mashitirti, tasova lo yamrin en yad isha ki yad bailo. So then Rashi on the Dorim takes it that the in this case, Shmuel's stand is we don't hold yad isha ki yad bailo. Which is odd, because we'll see the Gemara in Kiddush that everybody holds yad isha ki yad bailo.
I have a question on this. Like, we have a general klal, Zohim Lodem Shlobifona Bencha Favim Adam Lodem Shlobifona. So this klal, Yad Ishak, Yad Balo. So it looks like that it works even not for his benefit, right? Because in this situation, he would rather her have this. He would rather not acquire this money, because if he acquires this money, he cannot use it. If she gets it, he can use it.
So that's a nice question you're asking. According to Rashi in the Dorim, it's a benefit to him
for her
to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if she gets it, he can have some benefit from it. If
unless we're saying that Yad Isha works with different gather, and even if it's Choyv Lebal,
yeah, you're raising a really important issue, because we started with that whole thing.
No, but it's not a Choyv.
Yeah,
but it's a zochin. But it'll be zochin for him.
What's the zochin?
Who's for him not to be able to use it?
Because you prevented him from being over an issur of.
No,
but he wouldn't be over the issur the other way. Yeah, but I think what we, without going into it too deeply at this point, one of the things we might get to having a look at is the difference between zechia and yad. That where there's a chiyah works with a different mechanism altogether. Zochin olam shelo b'fonav doesn't work with a kinyan. Here it's mamish as if
yad
is as if the husband himself. It's his yad.
If I want to get rid of eved, I have a dead eved, so I go and give it to your eved, and from now on I'm free from this eved. I don't have to deal with him anymore. So it's now yours.
Right?
So I have an eved, which he steals from me.
A bad eved, right?
I want to get rid of him. How can I get rid of him? I go to your eved and tell him that now you own this eved. So now from this moment on, you actually own my eved. Okay.
Well, I don't know that it would work with an eved, but with metalton you could have a dog that you don't like, and I guess you could give it to
yeah. Will you acquire it? That's
and you say, will a person automatically be koneh if the
if it's another eved?
But even other, could you put an object in an eved's hand which the Baal wouldn't want? In other words, can the Baal, if I put it in the Baal's hand, he can drop it and say, I don't want this. If I put something in the eved's hand, does the Baal automatically kone, even if the Baal doesn't know about it, is what you're asking? The eved says, yes, I'm being kone. I don't know, we need to have a look at that actually. To what extent can an eved be kone something against the das of the owner?
Rabbi Meir says he cannot be koneh.
The eved himself can never be koneh.
So the Baal is
an area.
Okay, so let's not drift off too far. Let's stay on track, and then when we're done with the sugya, we can look at all the things that aren't covered in the sugya. The piece of run that we need to see, we don't need to go through the first part of the run so much, but the piece of run that we do want to have a look at. The Dafka d'Omala, it's on the fifth thick line of run. The Dafka d'Omala Hani Treilishni. He must say, according to Rav, both of them, both Lashonis, that Mashiat Noses Leficho, Lefich, and that your husband doesn't have Rishus. Amal Omar, Ein Lebalef Rishus Poyim Berachud, Loi Mahani. The Masnisin Rabbi Meir he, because the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Meir, the Omar Yad Isho Ki Yad Bailo, Kidemukilo Bigmora, the Chitema Im Kain, Im Omalo Nami Elo Mashiat Noses Lepich, Amai Mahani. And if she just says Ma'ashiat Nesenes Lepich, why does it work? Kind of time, Mishum Dekivan Shein Isha Zoich Binachos and Klal Ad She Titen Oisum Letoch Piho. See how the Ran learns. The only time she gets it is when she puts it into her mouth. He takes it completely literally. The Nesenes Bepich means literally until it touches your mouth, you don't acquire it. At that time, the Baal can't be Zoich anymore, which is clearly not the way Rashi learned. Rashi learned that she gets ownership before it gets into her mouth, and she could share it with her husband. The Ran learns she doesn't get ownership until it's in her mouth, and therefore there's no way that the husband can get ownership. If you want to say, therefore, what clothing, you can buy clothing with it. So the Ran is mechadish that Mashat Neses and Nesenes Lepich is dafka. It means literally putting something into your mouth. Any other use this wouldn't work with. The mechanism here is simply, it only becomes yours when it's no longer, it has no value to anybody else. That's when it becomes yours.
And the general stipulation is that
a general stipulation for you certainly wouldn't work.
But why do you need the general if you have the specific?
We'll see some of them learn a kal v'chomer that if the general on its own doesn't work. Certainly, in other words, Almanash ein lebalei frushes poim doesn't work. Kol shchein Almanash not mashi at noises when this is the picha won't work. But you don't even mention the baal. You've actually got to mention both. You've got to mention that this is for you, not the baal. Right. You know, that's how I want to learn. The ikemand amad the huadin b'shiyichdom lo leezid over shiye the lo ikono yasun baal kivan she'af lo lo hikno legamri elo lo ezid over bilvad. That's like the Rambam. That would seem. He only gave her, his tnai was beguf hamatona, and therefore, by virtue of definition, it doesn't become his. So the Rambam brings two ways of learning it, and do you think Rashi learns it the Rambam's way, or Rashi has a different way of learning it? So she acquires food with it. At that time, she's Zoichel. He can now share that food because it belongs to her. She's fulfilled the Tznai. The way Rashi learned was she fulfilled the Tznai by buying the food. Or earmarking it for that. According to the Ran, in his first way, she has to actually eat it. And the second way, any condition that she's given, any condition. Sorry? Between the second way of the Rambam and the way Rashi lands.
Sure. According to Rashi, he seems to say that the Machlokes Rav Shmuel has to do with whether Yadi should be a Barla or not.
Right.
The Ran, he's saying essentially that the Mishnah's Rabbi Meir does not hold Yadi should be a Barla. And
yes, yes.
And remaining Shmuel, therefore, not like Rashi, that Yadisha get Baila, the mechanism there that allows Shmuel to say what he says
is even though Yad Isha ki Yad Baila, you can still, by making a Tznai beguf hamatono, you're circumventing it not by removing her Yad, it's just by defining it in such a way that it has no value to him. Yes, absolutely. So Rashi is hard. For Rashi to say that they cholek in whether Yad Ishuk Yad Bailo is going to be difficult when we get to Kiddushin. And the Ran, you're right, says the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and therefore Rav and Shmuel are being cholek in Rabbi Meir, they're not being cholek on Rabbi Meir. So that's the one piece that we need. The Gemara in the Dorim, the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. We've got so far three different ways of understanding the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Either we say it to the Machlokes is whether Yad Ishuk Yad Baila or not, or the way the Ran learns is whether you can be Matne. So according to Rav, you can be Matne Begufa Matona and therefore exclude the husband. According to Shmuel, you can be Matne Begufa Matona just simply by saying, do with it as you want to do. I'm giving you spending power. But I'm giving you the spending power, it's not nobody else's authority. Somebody else's authority never becomes yours. The only way it can become yours is by you using it. But let's look at the Gemara in Kiddushin. Start with the Mishnah. And Chof Bezim and Bez. Chofez Amud Bez in the Mishnah. So there's only one piece of the Mishnah that we need to hold in our heads. And Eved Kanani Nikne Bekesef B'Tzava Chazak of a Kurnis Asma Bekesef Al Yedei Acherim. Just that word. So Eved Kanani can acquire himself with Kesef Al Yedei Acherim. Vishtar Al Yedei Atzma, don't worry about that. That Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'Chachomim Memi Bekesef Al Yedei Atzma. Vishtar Al Yedei Acherim. So the only pieces we need to hold in our heads is Chachomim is Rabbi Meir says Bekesef al yedei acherim must be somebody else's money by means of somebody else, and the Chachomim say Kesef al yedei atzmoi, provided the Kesef he uses belongs to somebody else. So what are they really arguing about? Either way, it seems to be the money must be somebody else's. Let's look at Rashi. Bekesef al yedei acherim, sheyitnuhu le rabbi. Others must give it to the rebbe, to the owner. אמנת שיוזה בן חורין. אבל הוא עצמו לא יקבל מהם, ואפילו אמנת שאין רבי רשוס, פי דקסוב אין קניין לבד בלי רבי. The Rabbi Meir holds any case of any kinyan levit below rabbi, and therefore there's no way the eved can be the transactor. The transactor actually has to be an outsider. The eved is incapable of transacting. So there again, if an outsider, then according to Rabbi Meir, would give the eved money and say, this is on condition that you give it to your rebbe for your own cherus, that wouldn't work, because the moment he's given it to the Eved, the Ordon has been koine. Now he's again, having concluded the Kinyan, is now placing restrictions on the money. The money doesn't belong to him anymore. It already belongs to the Ordon, so this won't work. The only way he can do it is if he gives it to the Ordon directly. Further down, but the Chachomim say he can do it as long as the money belongs to somebody else. The Eved ain't like klum, the imotza metzio, kibo matona, kol rabbi. And whatever he agrees, that the Chachonim seem to agree that the Rabbi, and the Kinyan, and Kinyan Eved Rabbi. So the only way he can transact, certainly is Mishel Achirim, he's got to use somebody else's money. And they give it to him on condition that his Rebbe has no Rishus in the money. So whose money is it?
Are they agreeing that the Eved cannot be Koina?
Seems to be.
Agreeing that or they possibly could hold, which they seem to, that the Eved could be koina, Yesh Kenyan Eved Murabai. But once it goes into his hands, he's not the Adon's Machna.
Well, there are a few ways. The one thing is, if you look at the beginning of Rashi, the Eved ain lo klum, ain lo klum. So he holds an Eved ain Kenyan Eved Murabai. In general terms.
Once he gets it, it goes out of his hands.
But then you can't say Eved ain lo klum. If an Eved has got a Yad to be Koine in any sort of way, then an Eved could have something.
He has the Yad to be Koine, but as soon as he acquires it, it belongs to the other.
So you're talking about whether it's one step or two steps.
Right.
Whether he's Koine for an instant and then it goes to the Ordon?
Right, because Rashi doesn't say that he cannot be Koine. He says he cannot have ownership.
So you want to learn it the following way. So that what you're saying is really important. So you're saying the Eved ain't like Klum, and Eved can't retain anything.
Exactly.
The im motzo metzio kibul matzona, yeah, he's mekabel matzona, he's motzo the metzio, but akol rabbi, it immediately goes on to the rebbe, so he can't retain ownership. Vimbo lifters halidei atzmei, tzorich liyus mishel acherim, so he must use money that belongs to another. Viyivnu lo al menashe in rabbi rishus boy, and they must give it to him al menashe in rabbi rishus boy. What then happens? Does it remain his? The evet. Has the Tanai made it possible for the Eved to hold on to it?
No.
Or who does this money belong to at that instant?
It's a gift. If the Eved holds on to it, then he broke the...
No, so the Eved is going to use it.
He has to pass it on.
So when does it become the Eved? Who does this money... So let's say, at time point number one, at 1 p.m., outsider gives the money to Eved. At 1:05, the Eved gives it to the Odin and gets his freedom. Between 1 o'clock and 1:05, who owns that money?
Rashi's Mashmah, that Eved owns it.
He created a mechanism whereby he can hold on to effect what he needs to do.
So at that time, the money belongs to him.
Seems to be.
Correct. Provided he fulfills the Tanai. So when he fulfills the Tanai, did the money retrospectively belong to him? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, there's a wall put up between him and his Rav.
Only if he fulfills the Tanai.
Or if he doesn't fulfill the Tanai,
he went and tried to spend it somewhere else. He's
but you know, Rashi doesn't say Amanachi is Amanachi that you use it for Cherus. Rashi just says Amanachi in the Rabbi Rishuspo. Is Rashi saying that according to the Chachamim, you can give him money which he can hold on to?
Well, you know, sorry, there's some confusion here to start because that last line of the Mishnah, I'm not sure if it's on the Chachamim or we're not clear if that applied to the Chachamim Shita or if it was.
So the Gemara goes into that as a possibility on its own, but let's assume for the moment that it's qualifying.
It's the same.
Yeah, Poshet Pshat is it's qualifying
Chachamim. So then, do they say Yesh Kenyan?
The Chachamim?
Yeah.
Well, on Kimel and Adal, they seem to say Yesh Kenyan, and then there's a question on the next page whether they have Yesh Kenyan or not, but.
As long as the money is from somewhere else, that's where it starts from, but the Eved would have the ability to make a Kenyan.
So let's take this Rashi, whoever Rashi is explaining for the moment, whether it's Rabbi Shimon Elazar or it's the Chachamim. Let's just take the Rashi. What is the shita in Rashi? The Eved ein liklum. So you're saying the Eved cannot retain ownership.
Right.
There's no way that he can ever.
That's what it's saying. So worse than Rabbi Meir?
No, if he takes it by himself, if there is no other das machna.
The motzah mitzi or kibbel matona. Even if he's kibbel matona with the das machna, it's still not. Right. It still can't be his. Hakol rabbi. V'im bo lifto es al yedei atzmo. How can he be poyed al yedei atzmo? Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim say he can be poyed al yedei atzmo. Because if al yedei atzmo, that's why I want to learn the pashtus that Rashi at this stage is taking the Mishnah without any new shita.
Mm-hmm.
We've said that poyed kesef al yedei atzmo. What does that mean? How can he have? How is it possible for an Eved to have money on his own? Says Rashi, it is possible. Tzurich liyus mishel acherim. If that money is mishel acherim, now what does that mean?
Not even his.
It actually belongs to them. So he's transacting with money that isn't his, is the way you're learning. V'yitnu loy almanat she'en l'rabbi rishus boy. So I'm giving you money, Eved, almanat she'en l'rabcha rishus boy, which means neither do you have rishus in it. This money is still mine. I'm just asking you to transact on kind of on my behalf as a kind of a shaliach. So you're holding the money, you're holding my money temporarily. And you're going to hand it over to your balabos. It will never be yours. I've kept you out of the circuit. You Eved.
If it's yours, it'll become the Rav's, and then we've lost the whole
Eved. So according to Rashi, it can never become the Eved's. So al yedei kesef al yedei atzmo means by his own transaction, but not by his own money. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, he cannot even transact. Because the moment he gets the money for transaction purposes, it already belongs to the Baal. You can't hold the... The whole machlokes thing is that according to Rabbi Meir, you can't hold the odin off it, and according to the Chachomim, you can hold the odin off it, but the money is never the Eved, according to both of them.
You're saying that in the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that he doesn't even have the koyach to be koina. Are you saying he can be koina, but immediately goes to the Eved at the time of Kenyan? Or we're saying that Rabbi Meir says he doesn't have the koyach to be koyach.
We don't know. We don't know. That's one of the things we're going to have to look at. Is this approach, is it like a lightning conductor that the moment you put it into his hand, it's immediately that he's just an extension of the odin? Or is it a two say that Eved is a human being able to be koyach? And the moment he's koyach, the odin gets right in it. So that mechanism we don't know, and it does have nafkuminas, so we'll have to clarify it. But at this point, we can't tell yet what that mechanism is. All we can say right now is that according to both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, he cannot own, the Eved cannot own. The only question is, can the Eved hold money on behalf of a third party and hand it over to an Odin, or can he not even do that? Because the moment he holds the money...
Why would Rabbi Meir disagree with that? If all he is a shliach, and he's not been koneh anything.
Yeah, why is he not like a shomer? Why? Because he could even give it to the owner. He could even give it to the odin and say, this money is mine until next week.
So if it's Michelle up there, and why won't you agree with
the thumb? Difficult.
There must have some sort of squiz in it. That's exactly right.
So what does the Salmanat She'en L'Rabbi Rishus Bo do? Is what we have to clarify. So let's look at the Gemara and see if it becomes any clearer in Chaf Gimel Amud Beis. In the middle of the Amud, Vivachi Akesef Mishel Acherim. So, Neva Behok Konfligi. The Rabbi Meir Sova Einkin Leve Belo Rabbi, Einkin Lisha Belo Baalo. Here's where the Gemara just throws in. Ein Isha Lekinin Belo Baalo. Who's talking about Isha? Verabon and Savri, Yeshkinin Leve Belo Rabbi, Yeshkin Lisha Belo Baalo. Maybe that's the Machlokes. Is there a Kinyan Le'eved or le'isha b'loy ba'lo or that Omer Rabba, Omer Rav Sheshes, the Kuli Alma in Kinyan Eved b'loy Rabba. And this we stay with. So that there is no question that Ein Kinyan Eved b'loy Rabba, Ein Kinyan le'isha b'loy ba'lo. That kind of we stay with.
Within Rav Sheshes?
No, even later on we don't retract from that, do we? Mm-hmm. That we stay with. We just go further in how we modify it and how we qualify it.
Right, we both agree.
That on that we seem to agree that there is no machlokes. Everybody holds that ein kinyan le'eved b'lo isha, ein kinyan le'eved b'lo rabbi, ein kinyan le'isha b'lo ba'lo. That's why that Rashi in the Dorim is a bit funny, to say that Shmuel holds that ein that is chole comes from nobody, no tanoim hold that. It's a little bit difficult.
Well, it's Rav Sheshes.
He used different lashon. He didn't say in Kinyan Rabbah. He said Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbah. That's a different.
It may be different. Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbah might be different.
Look at that track later on. It's just, he mentions it as well.
So there might be a difference. So hold that in mind so when we come to that. V'ocha b'ma'askinan de'akti le'acher moneh v'omer le'al menat she'en l'rab chereshis bo. So here we're talking with somebody else says, here's, I'm makne, look at the lotion. The akne le, acher mane. He's makne to the Eved. And says, I'm not sure, Rab Karushis boy. Rabbi Meir saw the ki omale kani Eved, but kani Rabbi. Rabbi Meir holds it doesn't help, because the moment he gives it to the Eved, the Rebbe acquires it, and then you can't add a tznai. So Rav Sheshes says the Tanai works, and it would seem, but this, according to this Gemara, would seem that the Eved is Kone at that moment. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, you have two steps.
That the Eved is Kone, the Akni Le Rabbe.
Why
momentarily? He can use it for anything he wants.
No, it jumps over immediately.
No, with the Tanai, right? With the Tanai.
Only in the Chacham.
Yeah.
Okay. But in Rabbi Meir, I'm
just... Yeah, in Rabbi Meir, it doesn't work at all.
In Rabbi Meir, even though it doesn't work at all, I'm saying there's still...
The Loshon seems to be there.
And, jumps over to the
and you're learning that just from the Loshon of the Gemara. Kani Eved, but Kani Rabbi.
Right.
That there seems to be an Eved Eved, and from the Eved it goes to the Rabbi.
Maybe, I don't know, the Adam drops dead. Does it never go to Paris? Or... passes on to the kids.
No, it will go onto Yerusha. So even if it's that way, it's virtually instant. I mean, it is instant. The question is just, what is the mechanism?
Right.
Is the Eved Ziyad the Odin Ziyad? Or is the Eved Ziyad the Eved Ziyad, just that the Odin has the right in it?
Ki Amale Kani Eved, the Kani Rabbi.
Ki Amale Kani, when he says, make the Kinyan, at that moment, Kani Eved, the Kani Rabbi.
And
the Tanai then doesn't work on Rabbi Meir. What's interesting is that Rabbonin, kiven de omale al manas ahani le tanoi. So ahani le tanoi to do what? To make it the Eved l'cher. Is that seems to be what it would say? So the Tanai, according to Rav Sheshes, al manas she'en l'rab chereshus boy, means I can give the Eved money that remains his own. No. Why?
Because it's only based on the tanai that I put on this.
Which is, what is the tanai?
The tanai of the giver.
Which is
that it reach the far end.
No, that's further on when we get into Cherus. That's only in Rabbi Loza. At this time, all he is saying is Damale Amanas and Amanash in the Rab Chodeshusboy.
So when you go over to the Rashi.
Let's have a look at Rashi.
Rabbanan Savri Yesh Kinyan.
Let's have a look and see. The Rabbi Meir, the Amar Bekesef Al Yedei Achirim, Sava In Kinyan Levet Belei Rabbi, In the Son Eloi Bematon Azocha Be Rabbi, Hirkech Apa Gav the Habi Kesef, Mishal Achirim, I Efshar Shei Chablenu Hu, the Yitin Le Rabbi, he can't acquire it to give to his own, it's never his. Rabban and Savri Yesh Kinyan, this is in the Havamina. In the Son Eloi Maton Ohoil, Vedas Achiris Makneyu, it's only if he finds a Metziah that it goes to the owner. But if there's a das acheres as makneh, v'noisen zeh loigoma b'libishiske b'harav, and he gives it to the Eved, he didn't intend it to go to the Rebbe, have you the Eved, the mifrik be'al yirei atzmo, it belongs to the Eved. Kinyan d'ishu v'ala ba'al metzrichelam, this issue of v'ala really belongs elsewhere, v'ishu ki Eved, hoyu v'ala zakai b'maisi yodeh, v'metziyoso, v'chiyechi d'pligi l'inyan matona b'Eved, ike l'mash meduadim b'ishu. And the chidush of the Gemara is the linkage, this is not the place for this discussion. But the chidush here is that they're treated the same. So we said, no, the kula alma, so the Kamas Rav Sheshes says, the kula alma ain kinyan, iyavi le stama. So you can't say that his das is to give it to the Eved. No, the das doesn't help. But if he makes a specific tznai, b'dibur, ahani le tznoa de meikora adaita de tznoa akne.
And the Eved owns it, and the Eved now goes on his own.
And the Eved can now do with it as he wants.
And free himself.
And he can use it to free himself. So then the Chiddush of Rav Sheshes is that it is possible for an Eved to own, and it is possible for a woman to own. So Rav Sheshes, Aliba de Rav Chachomim, is the most liberal of all of them. Isn't that right?
Right.
You can exclude. It doesn't even have to be a Tanai Beguf.
Right.
So this doesn't even have to be a Tanai Beguf. I think you can just make a Tanai that excludes the owner's rights. That would be the most extreme. Rav Sheshes, according to Rabbi Meir, you can make a tznai in the guf hachefetz. No, you can't. According to nothing will work. Nothing will work at all. Can't circumvent. There's nothing you can do. What would Rabbi Meir hold in the case of where you are matne begufadova? So Rabbi Meir says here, according to Rav Sheshes, Rabbi Meir says, "Ein le'evid kinyan b'lo rabbi." So I can't exclude the Rebbe, because the moment I give it to the Eved, what if he did it the Rambam's way? Amanat she teichal boy, or she tishte boy, or she something very specific.
With an Eved. Which is what? That you should go free?
Yep. Or that you should go free. Or that you should go free. Amanat she teichal boy. What would Rabbi Meir hold according to Rav Sheshes? Is Rabbi Meir saying there's nothing you can do to exclude the Eved, no matter what?
It must be Al-Yidei Acherim.
Since he says it's only Al-Yidei Acherim, you're saying there is no way that the Eved can acquire, no matter what you do, the Tznai B'Gufad over whatever you want.
And therefore it must be the Kesef Al-Yidei Acherim.
And there's no way he could have Kesef Al-Yidei Atzmon. Okay, so that would be the pashtus of understanding it.
Maybe may hold that if he gives kesef al manas to leave those bo, this is called kesef al yedei acherim.
That would be called kesef al yedei acherim.
No. Is there al yedei acherim? He would have been the case. But was he Conan? He can't be Conan.
Okay, let's hold it for a moment, because that Tosfos deals with that, but let's hold that for a moment. So what we're asking is Yule Negotion Bepashtis, from the fact that Rabbi Meir says that it must be Al-Yidei Acherim, there is no way the Eved can possibly own that money, and no Tznai could work.
I'd reverse it, I'd say, from the fact that he holds Ein Kinyan Le'Eved below Rabo, he's forced to use Al-Yidei Acherim in order effect.
And therefore, even a tznai begufa matona would not help.
Right.
No, nothing will help. There's no way that he can ever own anything.
Right. You just have people doing transactions on his behalf around him.
And what about by Isha? If we go with the hyperlink and we say Isha is the same, then you would say there is no way that an Isha can receive something no matter what the tznai is, and you would be going against both Rav and Shmuel. Is that right? No, we said the Mishnah, but we've already said the Mishnah in Nedarim is Rabbi Meir. So if the Mishnah in Nedarim is Rabbi Meir, and you're learning that Rabbi Meir holds that there's no way whatever that an Eved can acquire, even if you're Matnei Begufa Matona, and the Gemara is establishing a hyperlink to Isha, then you would be saying there's no way that an Isha can be given a gift, even if it's Tznai Begufa Matona, and you would be holding like neither Rav or Shmuel.
No, I would. There would have to be a distinction between. There is a distinction between Isha and Eved, and Isha has.
So you would be mechadish that the Gemara has to be qualified. Of course, we could say the Gemara in the Doyen is not going like Rav Sheshes; it's going like Rabbi Loza, because we haven't come on to Rabbi Loza. But just so far, working on Rav Sheshes, the way, in fact, that's really what you're saying. You're coming out that the Gemara in the Doyen can't be going like Rav Sheshes. That's really what you're saying. That's no problem. That's no problem.
There's this whole Mizonah section, right?
You're saying that the Gemara and the Dorim can't be going like Rav Sheshes, because according to Rav Sheshes, Rabbi Meir holds there's no way whatever that the Eved can be Kone, and even if you're Matnei Begufado.
Right, but the only thing is there's no situation by Eved where, because it's Mizonah or something, he does have the power of King. Correct? So,
yes.
We're looking at Eved and we're looking at Rabbi Meir, there's just no opportunity. When you go over to Isha, even in the Shita of Rabbi Meir, I still think there is this gather of, what do you call it, whatever she puts into her mouth.
Yeah, because you see, you're using good Sfora. You're saying the fact is Isha and Eved are not the same. That's what Moshe was saying earlier. The fact is an Isha has a yad and Eved doesn't.
Right, there is one area
that they should be different. So you're questioning this whole linkage. Why does the Gemara equate them? They're not the same. So based on what, so if we go with the linkage, then you're having to say that the Gemara Nadorim is not going like Rav Sheshes, unless you can say that the linkage isn't absolute, And that Gemara is talking about Isha. Here we're talking about Eved. And this the linkage, we're going to have to question exactly how far that linkage goes. One of those two, you would have to say. Let's just do Rabbi Loza very quickly and then we'll leave it. Rabbi Loza maki hai gavna de kule ame loy pligi. Rabbi Loza says, no, everybody agrees you can't just exclude the owner. You can't do that. The kani evid be kani rabbi. In such a case, the rabbi gets it. V'alcha b'maskein kund akni le achim mone v'omale amenashi teitze bo l'cheirus. Here, there's a different thing altogether. The money is given to the Eved, not amenashi en l'rabbi reshusboi, but amenashi teitze bo l'cheirus, a very specific use, which is more aligned to the case in the Dorim of Amenashe, what you put in your mouth.
Yeah, but Rabbi Meir, even in this case, says it doesn't work.
Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir says, even this doesn't work. V'chiyomale amenas liklum ka amalei, v'rabonon tzavri lididei nami, holoi ko machnilei, toholo amalei ela amenashe teitzebo lecheres. He's only given him some very specific powers. He hasn't given him cash. And therefore the powers... He's defined the gufa chayfus using the Rambam's terminology. He's defined the gufa maton in such a way that the Rebbe doesn't get it, or you could hold that it's going to get to the Rebbe. In any case, we'll discuss what Rabbi Loza's shita is, but the Gemara and the Dorim now could be going according to Rabbi Loza. Isn't that right? Must be.
So if you have been Meir, a little bit of Rabbi Loza, it's impossible.
Why?
Because according to Rabbi Loza, for sure, even in the case Almanat Ligdo is boy, it doesn't work.
Even if he's not, that's right. So you would have to say that the Mishnah then is not Rabbi Meir.
Yeah.
You would have to say it's Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Meir.
So if we're trying to say that Mishnah in the Dorim is Rabbi Meir, it must be Rav Sheshet, it must be not Rabbi Loza.
And then we've got a problem if we learn Rav Sheshet the way Gershon wants to learn Rav Sheshet.
Do you say the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir or not?
Well, that's how Rashi was learning it, but the Ran said it's definitely Rabbi Meir. So now it starts getting a lot of fun. Okay, so we've put the pieces on the table now. I think we have all the pieces in place, and we can work with the pieces in a session for next week. So if you can just get very clear what we've done, and if you want to look further, the next thing we'll start looking at is the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredei Resh Samach Zayin, where we'll be looking at the Machlokes Shach and Taz on the Shulchan Aruch. Differences between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Is there a difference? Isn't there a difference? Trying to understand the Rambam a little bit more clearly.
Do you want to go further in the Gemara here?
No, we don't need to go further in the Gemara.
So to
get very clear what we've done so far, probably worthwhile looking at the Tosfos on this Gemara, the Rabbi Loza Amar Kol Ki Hai Gavna. And then Shulchan Aruch in Resh Samach Zayin, Yoredei Resh Samach Zayin, which is the on the sugya, and there's an Ebenezer in Pei Hey with Aleph, Pei Hey if Yud Aleph, which we'll also have a look at. I'm not sure if we'll get to that next week. And there's Yoredei Resh Chof Beis. So is Yoredei Resh Samach Zayin deals with Eved. Yoredei Resh Chof Beis deals with Nedarim. So we've got Hilchos Avodim and Hilchos Nedarim in Yoredei and Evan Ezer, which is by Isha. So Shulchan Aruch deals with it in three different areas. The Rambam just deals with it in Zechi and Matana. We're dealing with Zechi and Matana, and Zechi and Matana has an Isha impact. So in Shulchan Aruch in three areas, Hilchos Avodim in Reish Samach Zayin,
2, 6, 7.
Yoredei in Reish Chof Beis, which is Nedarim, and Evan Ezer in Pei Hei.
Yeah.
Seif Yud Aleph. That's with Pei Hei, Seif Yud Aleph. Shulchan Aruch deals with it in three different areas.
We'll record next week's year.
And this one is also recorded, and I'll put it on the site if it helps.